Hello, my name is Chip Ling. You're listening to Total EM. I have with me today Brian Lin, who was one of the speakers at the SIMBA conference, and he talked all about different types of soft tissue injuries and how to manage them. And Brian, I just have to say, you have a website that's amazing, and I think we can promote that real quick. Can you tell us a little bit about the website?
Sure. So I run a website that is called www.lacerationrepair.com. It's a project that I began personally a couple years back, and just based on the need at my own hospital, actually. We had residents coming through our emergency department who were not in emergency medicine per se, and we do a suture workshop. I do it with them at the beginning of every academic year, but I'd find that by the time they got to their emergency medicine rotations, they'd often forgotten a lot of the basic techniques like vertical mattress suture placement, horizontal mattress suture placement. And I wanted to have a real-time live reference for them, but also something that they could access and just do on the fly. So all of my videos are designed to be sort of refreshers for each of these techniques. No, each of the videos is only about 2 to 3 minutes in length, so it's a quick way when you're on a shift to just take a quick look right before you go in the patient's room and do these techniques on the fly and feel skilled and more confident doing those techniques. So again, www.lacerationrepair.com. I'm pretty pleased and proud that it's become such a far-reaching resource, and I hope it can be a useful resource for people in the PA community. I just wish that I had given it a better name.
No, I think it's a great name. And actually, one thing that it was kind of funny, you said it so briefly, like it was probably the least popular post you have, but I think it's a very important one. It's about suture options. And so there are a lot of different reasons, a lot of times of when to use a specific type of suture. So I just want to promote that because I think that's a very important point that a lot of people forget about. And you also talk about, like you said, different techniques for the suturing. And one of the hardest things, and I think we see this daily, are skin tears and how to actually approximate that. You did a really good job mentioning about, so how to use steri-strips with sutures. And can you just kind of briefly explain how you can use those together?
Sure. Well, this is a technique that's been in the literature and described by a couple different people a couple different times. I can't take credit for the idea, but I definitely think it's a good one that we should all get in the habit of using. So when you've got a patient who's got thin skin, and that can be for any reason, mostly we think about elderly patients with kind of thin skin that tears apart really easily, but this is also patients with, say, Addison's disease who are on chronic steroid replacement, or certain anatomic regions of the body, like the pretibial area. These are areas with fairly thin skin. And what can happen if you just try and suture through that skin is it's just going to tear right through the skin, almost causing what we call a cheese wire effect. Now, sometimes we can get away with just using tape on these wounds, but the problem with that is tape doesn't hold tension quite as well as sutures most of the time. So the idea behind these techniques is to use a combination of sutures and steri-strips or some other type of tissue adhesive tape in order to get the best of both worlds. One of the descriptions of this technique was published in the Journal of Emergency Medicine in 2011, and it involves basically placing a steri-strip or other tissue adhesive tape across a wound perpendicularly, the same way we would do for any type of wound. But then the second step is to then take a strong suture, like a nylon non-absorbable suture, and suture right through that steri-strip in order to reinforce the wound. Now, that works, but it only really works for the really straight, simple laceration. And as you know, a lot of times these lacerations are macerated and they're kind of a mess. So a separate description of this was published in a plastic surgery journal in 2009, where they advocated basically just painting tincture of benzoin all around the wound edges and then cutting your steri-strips down into small lengths and surrounding all the margins of the wound. Now you've reinforced all the edges of the wound, and you can again suture right through that, and it prevents that cheese wiring effect and adds more strength to your suturing while reinforcing the skin at the same time.
There were so many different topics and so many things you discussed so well. I think someone's just got to basically go and find all the resources. But one other one, I thought this was so practical. We have so many cuts around the eye, and it's a common issue, and especially with kids who are wiry and running around. I mean, that's not someone you necessarily have to sedate. There's maybe some other ways on how to do this, and especially being careful. I think you listed at least two different techniques on how to avoid getting glue into the eye. Can you cover those real quick, please?
So we were discussing at the lunch break here at the SEMPA conference, the situations where glue in the eye can go awry. Somebody described to me a case where they had put glue over a laceration that was just below the eyebrow, and that glue leaked into the patient's eyelids. And it was a little kid, so it glued the eyelashes together, and the kid got all upset, and the parents in turn got upset, and it kind of created a mess. You know, the typical recommendation is to take something like a SurgiLube or take triple antibiotic ointment and paste it over the dermabond, and that's a way to loosen the bond of most cyan or acrylate glues. So that should work, but in the situation that this person was describing, it didn't work as well as she would have liked. She would have probably preferred not to have been in the situation in the first place. I think we all would. So one technique you can use is to take a piece of Tegaderm, and before you remove that cardboard backing, cut a little hole in the center of the Tegaderm that approximates the size and shape of the wound that you're looking to glue. Then basically affix that Tegabond piece over the patient's eye and eye adnexa. Now what you can do is apply that glue with reckless abandon right over that laceration, and you don't have to worry about that glue leaking into the eye, because if it leaks, it's just going to leak onto the Tegaderm. Once the glue is dried, you can then peel back the Tegaderm, and you've got a nice approximated laceration without any risk of getting glue into the eye. Now, with regards to suturing around the eye, which we sometimes need to do, a couple tips that I find useful. You know, anytime you're going to place a needle, whether it be a suture needle or a straight needle, if you're injecting anesthetic around the eye, you always feel a little nervous because you don't want to accidentally puncture the globe. So one trick of the trade is to grab a Morgan lens like you would use if you were going to do like a irrigation of somebody with a chemical eye exposure, and drop some proparacaine or tetracaine over the cornea, and then plop the Morgan lens onto the globe. Now you've basically created a plastic shield for the eye so that when you suture, when you insert your needle around the globe, you don't need to worry about accidentally puncturing that globe. Another trick is, once you begin suturing, say over somebody's eyelid, you can leave the tails of that first suture really long, and you can use that, maybe get a second person to help you, to retract the eyelid off of the eye, such that when you actually go to repair and finish your suturing, you're not going to be suturing anywhere near the globe itself.
All right, everyone. So this is Chip Lane cutting in. I just wanted to talk a little more about this. Brian Lynn was amazing to interview. I'm so glad to have had him on. Sympa 360 was a great opportunity to meet people such as Brian, who are very motivated and love talking about what they do on a day-to-day basis and going into things more detailed. With having such experts as these, it's absolutely important to go to conferences like Sympa 360 or ASEP for that matter, anything like that. But Sympa 360, it was amazing. I enjoyed every second of it. And I hope that if you do go in the future, you'll be able to meet me there as well. Now, these are all wonderful resources, and we're going to talk about this more in detail next week to cover some of the things that Brian wanted to also cover. Besides just simply the wound closure side, he has a lot of excellent tips and all the things I want to go over some more. So this is a shorter podcast. As I kind of warned everyone, there's a lot of stuff going on for me in the background. I just want to make sure we got some great content out there because this is an excellent piece. We're going to have some people coming on the show here soon, so you may not have to listen to my voice as much as I initially thought as you were going to have to. But again, everything can change. It's constantly in motion. Hopefully you enjoy this and you'll enjoy what's going to be coming out next week as well. And just keep sharing this information. Hopefully you can be able to talk to some of your friends about this as well. Help share the podcast. If you have any upcoming ideas or if you want to suggest anything else for upcoming podcasts, please let me know, as I'm always happy to get feedback and always happy to share new ideas. Well, on that note, let's go ahead and end it for this week. Until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.